1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. Temptations are as natural as anything in the human experience. Sweets, those cookies, laziness, television, shopping, people-pleasing temptations, and they range all the way to alcohol, sex, tobacco, opioid painkillers. Temptations are as natural to anything in our human experience. You are all tempted on a daily basis. Some of you tempted right now to tune me out. You like those cookies too much. The Apostle Paul writes in his first letter to the Corinthians that temptations are common to all people. Those urges that you feel are felt by others and you are not alone, but it feels like you are alone because temptations are not things that we talk about. Temptations are embarrassing to talk about with a partner, with a parent, with a friend. Temptations can be damning to talk about with a partner, a parent, a friend. What will they think of me if I tell them that I've been tempted to try alcohol for the first time? What will my friends say about me if I tell them that I've been tempted to click on that dirty ad online? We don't even like mentioning our temptations to binge eat the whole sleeve of cookies. Temptations are for the privacy of our own minds, but it's in our own minds where such dark thoughts take hold. And when they fester long enough, people give in, and when they give in, eventually they develop a habit, a problem, an addiction. When temptations become addictions, then you have a huge problem. Temptations can be averted, but addictions can take a lifetime to overcome. So let us not allow those temptations to get the better of us. This is a little bit of a gross story from Homiletics magazine, but I think it illustrates how temptations can get too far away from us, so bear with me. Paul Harvey tells this incredible story about how Eskimos kill a wolf simply by coating a knife with frozen blood and sticking it in the tundra. Apparently, the wolf picks up the scent of the blood and circles the knife warily and begins to lick that frozen blood, licking faster and faster as the desire for blood literally drives the wolf wild. So great becomes his craving for more that the wolf never notices the sting of the knife. And the blood on his tongue eventually becomes his own. So in the morning, the Eskimos find the wolf lying dead in the snow. Temptation lures each of us as that bloody knife attracts the unsuspecting wolf. And we may warily respond at first, but soon our desire becomes so consuming and we never notice that sting, the sting of the knife, the sting of sin, as the blood consumed eventually becomes our own. Anyone who's ever walked alongside someone with an addiction knows that often they do not realize how much pain they actually cause themselves or those around them. People with severe addictions cannot see the hurting they cause. They can only see the temporary fixing of that addictive problem by getting more. Even in our little town of Hagerstown, we have all been affected by now by this opioid epidemic. We all know someone who has allowed that simple temptation to ease physical pain to go too far to the point of altering their life, and in some cases, ending their life. At a recent HARC meeting, that's the Hagerstown Area Religious Council, I heard a chaplain in our town say that some communities across the country are giving up on responding to opioid overdoses with ambulances because they have become too common and reoccurring. And for people like paramedics, it has become disheartening and completely frustrating to save that addicted person's life on an ambulance run, only to have to save that same person when they are released from the hospital later that day. In the same day, they can overdose twice or more. Someone who finds themselves in such a crisis might wonder in a moment of clarity where all of it began. How did everything start? Some alcoholics prone genetically to alcoholism would say that it started with that first sip. You've probably heard that. Addiction starts with simple temptation. The 12-step program that has assisted many people in breaking their addiction to alcohol has been morphed to help other addictions, but it begins with this powerful and truthful statement, step one of the program, which many of us know as admitting we have a problem. Well, the full statement is, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives have become unmanageable. Powerless. That hard line to define when a temptation becomes an addiction is when we lose power. Paul in 1 Corinthians says that God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. There's two sides to that statement, aren't there? The first is a reminder that God is with you through any temptation, which is important for anyone who is struggling. But the other side of the statement comes down to how much I can bear. Why would God allow me to be pushed to the brink? I believe the key here is that God believes in us sometimes more than we believe in ourselves. God, along the way, even every step of the way through an addiction, will and does provide us ways out, opportunities to change. And God believes the human spirit is strong enough to change. God believes this so much that God has structured the entire system of salvation around the fact that humans are strong enough to change, to repent, to believe. But God believes in us sometimes more than we believe in ourselves. Because the reality is, when we start into these habits of temptation, eventually addiction, we start to believe that there is no turning back, that this is our new normal, that this is what we have become. But God doesn't buy into that. We do. We begin to believe that we've been tempted beyond what we can bear, and so we are lost and blinded to what God sees. For God sees just another child needing to admit they are powerless in and of themselves, but also that they are most powerful when they allow God to work in their lives. God provides a way out. Whether we see it or not, God sends us people. God sends us messages that could be our way out if we would just listen. So what are some of those outs that God is sending us? I've got a few answers to that question, but first, and the simplest way out, is God's gift of a conscience. You have a conscience. Paul claims in Romans 2:15 that everyone has a conscience, some semblance of law and ethics written on our hearts. He says believers and non-believers alike have this. It's our first line of defense against temptation. We feel it in our hearts when the peer pressure mounts as other kids make fun of an outcast at school. We are tempted, but we know at our core that it's wrong. We might be tempted to yell or get angry at that store employee or that store manager for making a mistake, that waitress for making a problem with our order. But we feel in our core that something would be wrong about lashing out. The conscience is that first line of defense when we are tempted. But often it is the conscience that is co-opted. Co-opted by a variety of forces. Emotions overpower our conscience all the time. Cultural norms manipulate our sense of what's right and wrong. And peer pressure is awfully strong. So our second line of defense is not what, but who. It's our brothers and sisters. We set out to look after one another, to be people that we can confide in. Because when you have a witness, fighting a temptation is a whole lot easier. It's why Alcoholics Anonymous requires you to have a sponsor, someone who knows what it is like and wants the best for you. It's why in the church we encourage you to have prayer partners. Those of you who left the women's retreat this past year left with a prayer partner. And so if you have some temptation that is bugging you in your conscience, and yet your conscience is blurred, confused, you talk to a brother or sister. You find some trusted person, a mentor, someone willing to pray with you. The next line of defense is Scripture. You might recall that when Jesus is tempted in the wilderness by Satan, he responds to every one of the devil's taunts with Scripture. You cannot live on bread alone. You do not put the Lord your God to the test. Developing this regular habit of Scripture reading can make you better prepared to understand why something is right or wrong and why your conscience is throwing up those red flags. A brother or sister might also be able to point you to Scripture that might help. Scripture can be an excellent tool in dealing with temptations that are becoming problematic. But lastly, I must say that sometimes temptations become so problematic that addictive behaviors emerge. Binging alcohol is a problem. Binge eating is a problem. Consuming pornography is a problem. Routinely getting angry and displaying anger inappropriately or violently, that is a problem. And some of those issues require professional help. I know you hate that. We all hate that. The idea of having to go and get help. But if you're scared of crossing that temptation addiction line, God might be sending you a professional counselor, a support group, a chaplain, a social worker to help you out. God might send you a professional because God believes in you. God believes that together you and God can overcome even those deepest temptations. Now, before you leave feeling all bad about yourselves, I need to reiterate what Paul says about temptations being natural to the human experience. Before verse 13, Paul talks about even the ancient Hebrews gave in to temptations even after watching God's mightiest miracles of parting the Red Sea and giving food from heaven. Even after seeing these things, these Hebrews are tempted into idolatry, into grumbling and anger against God. Being tempted, Paul's point here, is not a sign that you are necessarily unfaithful, but it's a sign that you're human. Being tempted is not a sign you're unfaithful, but a sign that you're human. And your faithfulness will be tested in how you respond to those temptations. So I urge you, respond with God's help. I don't know what your issue might be right now, but look for the way out that God is providing you, because He is there. It is there. Your brothers and sisters are there. Respond with God's help, because with God and your church, no temptation need get the best of you. Amen. Amen.